Hi, my name is William. It's nice to meet all of you, sort of. I'll try to meet you more after the service. Today I want to go over the big picture idea of who is worthy to worship God. So in 2 Samuel we see this character of King David. He's this mighty warrior of God. He's a humble shepherd. He's a creative poet. He's viewed as all these amazing things in Scripture. He's a humble shepherd. He's a giant slayer. He's a mighty warrior. He's a poet and musician. He's a creative guy. And these are all great things, great characteristics of a leader, you know, being creative, being humble, being powerful, being wise. They make him a good leader and surely someone who's worthy to worship God. Who's worthy to worship God? In Romans 12:1, it says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. In other words, service looks like worship. And King David put himself in very risky situations. He clearly served God in dangerous and extreme ways, and surely this is a high version of worship. He risked his life a number of times in battle for the great nation of Israel. So I'm just going to read 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 to 5 again. Then all the tribes of Israel went to David at Hebron and told him, "We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, when Saul was our king, you were the one who really led the forces of Israel. And the Lord told you, 'You will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. You will be Israel's leader.' So there at Hebron, King David made a covenant before the Lord with all the elders of Israel, and they anointed him king of Israel. David was 30 years old when he began his reign, and he reigned for 40 years in all. He had reigned over Judah from Hebron for 7 years and 6 months, and from Jerusalem he reigned all over Israel and Judah for 33 years. So 40 years in all, he is king of the mighty nation of Israel. Now, if a pastor makes it 40 years in a church, the same church, that's a big deal. That's something to celebrate. That's fantastic. If I make it 40 years in my ministry of Young Life, that's a big deal. If I make it 6 months in a job as a millennial, that's a big deal. But King David, starting as a lowly shepherd, risen up into this mighty king, is king of God's chosen people, the Israelites, for 40 years. Surely this is a high honor. Surely King David is someone who is worthy to worship God. So, my name is William. I work for a program called Young Life in Kamloops here. I spend a lot of time with teenagers, getting to understand them. Young Life's mission statement is we are here to reach out to the kid furthest out. We desire to bring those who are unchurched, who are afraid of the church, of what it might mean for them to know Christ, to encourage them to know the person of Jesus Christ. And so I spend a lot of time with teenagers, and it's a lot of fun. But my team, even myself, my ministry, aren't particularly perfect. We argue, sometimes we do a great job ministering to teenagers, and sometimes we have to write incident reports. Sometimes we disagree on what theology looks like. Sometimes we don't get along. We're a dysfunctional team. Now, I'm proud to be a part of this team, but truthfully, I don't think I've seen a single ministry that operates perfect, that operates like this high and mighty King David, as it were. So who is worthy to worship God? Sometimes I don't feel very worthy to worship God. What we don't talk about all the time is that King David, this amazing character in Scripture, is actually characteristically flawed, deeply flawed, actually. If you look at the second half of 2 Samuel, David, he does a lot of things, but among them, he seduces a character named Bathsheba. He gets her pregnant, and then he gets her husband murdered, which I would say, I don't think any of us have done that. I hope not, anyways. If you had, God forgives, thank goodness. But these are flaws. These are deep flaws. These are obvious flaws. And so now we come to this paradox where the character of King David is both this amazing, wise, mighty warrior for God and his kingdom, and completely gives in to his fleshly desires. So he's both. And in view of that, I want to read 2 Samuel 6, 1-5. Then David again gathered all the elite troops in Israel, 30,000 in all. He led them to Bela of Judah to bring back the Ark of God, which bears the name of the Lord of Heaven's armies, who is enthroned between the cherubim. They placed the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it to Abinadab's house, which was on a hill. Uzzah and Ahio, Abinadab's sons, were guiding the carts. They carried the Ark of God, Ahio walking in front of the Ark. David and all the people of Israel were celebrating before the Lord, singing songs and playing all kinds of musical instruments, lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. So what I see is this this beautiful view of how God has used this flawed character, David, to bring the perfect presence of God, that being the Ark of the Covenant, back to God's flawed people, the Israelites. The Israelites are famously known for never understanding how to follow God, it would appear. You know, God chooses them as his people to bring his perfect news and his perfect presence to all people, and they keep going back to worshiping golden calves and doing just strange, odd things that don't make any sense. And yet they're God's chosen people. And so again, it's this picture of a broken king bringing the perfect presence of God to a broken people. And I think that parallels very well to what the ministry I'm involved in looks like. It's a broken team of leaders who need Jesus, bringing the perfect gospel of Jesus to broken teenagers who don't even know that he exists. I think that's a beautiful parallel that all the way from the Old Testament to the New is this redemption story of the gospel. So who is worthy to worship God? I would argue, perhaps none of us are, but because of the gospel, all of us have the opportunity to worship God. All of us get to be in his presence. All of us can be in his presence. It is the whole point of 1 and 2 Samuel is this through theme of God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble, and how God will rise up a new king that will redeem Israel. And people keep thinking it's King David because he's this amazing character who slays giants and shepherds sheep and sings songs. But again, David is critically flawed, and it's actually later in David's line that Jesus comes to fully fulfill this and redeem his people. This is about the gospel in the first place. And I think that's the whole point of this, is that the good news of the gospel is that any of us, characteristically flawed as we are, and apparently speech impediment as well, we get to be redeemed. We have the opportunity, if we come to the foot of the cross, to be redeemed and have this perfect relationship with him. And it is such an honor for me to, as a flawed person, get to bring the gospel to you guys, to teenagers, and to anyone I come across. And so I just praise God for that. I'm going to take a moment to pray, and then afterwards we're going to have a short moment for silent meditation. God, I thank you for the opportunity as flawed people to receive your perfect gospel. Thank you that you can use people as broken as David and as broken as me to do mighty things, and that you love us just so very much that you were willing to send your son to die on the cross for us. Amen.